Get connected with Take-Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take-Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2RadioMusic.com.
Good afternoon and happy Wednesday to everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. Hope you all are having a wonderful day. It's absolutely beautiful in Chicago, which is a change from what it's been for, it seems like forever, but it was probably the past week or so with rain, and we have enough. We're starting to build Noah's Ark over here. But I hope everything is well with everyone, and I'm so very pleased to have with me today Joel Rowland, and he's from the band Ostrich Run. So welcome, Joel.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm
You're
over
welcome,
here,
and thanks for joining me.
Yeah, that's cool. We're over in California. We have a huge drought right now, so you guys are raining over here. It's really dry.
Yeah, I know. And every time I see that, because I have relatives in California, so I tend to pay attention to, you know, a lot of what's going on over there. And
Yeah. So
every time I see that there's a drought, I think, God, you know, you're supposed to split things up separately, you know, equally, and give us a little bit of dry, a little bit of wet, and then put some over on the West Coast, you know. But it seems like the Midwest and the East Coast are getting drowned while the West Coast is all drying up. So, and then
I would love it,
the earthquake
here,
you guys had.
I know.
Just everything.
It was like huge. My parents were up there actually, up in Napa Valley when it happened, and they said it was huge.
Oh, my
gosh.
Crazy. That always scares me. Like I said, I have relatives there, and I just, every time I see it. And I guess with being Californians, they don't think a lot of it unless it's something, you know, a little bit bigger like it was recently.
Yeah, unless it's, like, really big, we kind of just deal with it, you know. I remember I was outside over by the Angel Stadium at Disneyland. And I was just outside at a shopping mall, and then all of a sudden the whole building started shaking. There's like stuff falling over and all this stuff, and nobody's really running or doing anything. Everybody's just kind of waiting for it to end.
Oh, my gosh. And here, me from Chicago, if I would have been there, I would have been freaking out, and people would have been looking at me like I was a lunatic.
You show us lightning, though, and we freak out.
Well, we all have to deal with whatever Mother Nature gives us, I guess, and you get used to it no matter where you live and what you get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've had a couple of earthquakes here in Illinois, but I've never felt any of them. So I guess it's basically the ones that have been more closer to where it happened. Even though it says it came out my way, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
So. I'm glad of that, though, believe me. I'd rather not know. So let's get into your music and what you do. Are you the singer, the lead singer?
Yeah, I do. I sing, I play guitar, just kind of write. Me and Mark write together, and we have a good time doing it, you know. I was really excited about this release. It kind of just was the first thing that Ostrich Run kind of, like, put out there, so that was cool. Kind of gave us, like, a feel for writing with each other and just kind of understanding where we want to take the music for future, you know, releases and stuff. And I had a great time.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you guys are relatively new to, you know, working together. But let's go back a bit, and have you been singing all of your life?
Pretty much. I actually used to do kind of like back when I was maybe like 10, 11 years old, would do like musicals and stuff. So I played parts like I was like doing stuff like Anastasia. I was Vladimir. I did stuff like Aladdin. I played Aladdin and like I did, you know, just stuff like that growing up. That was fun. And that kind of got me into just singing and stuff like that. And then I started getting really into like Nirvana like around eighth grade. And
oh, wow, big difference.
Like, I started getting into, like, grunge and stuff, and then, like, I don't know, just started playing guitar. The first song I ever learned was Smells Like Teen Spirit, and just kind of got me into the whole rock scene. And I really enjoyed it, started writing some songs at a young age. And, you know, I just kind of went from there. Did a couple bands here and there, but this one is the first one that kind of, like, stuck as far as feeling comfortable with the members and kind of just being on the same page, I guess, with where we want to take everything. And it's just been a really good experience with Ostrich Run. And,
yeah, yeah. How did you meet up with Mark?
I actually grew up with Mark, so I was best friends with his little brother. He's like 3 years older than me. I think he's 24, and I'm 22. And his little brother, Jordan, is my age. I was best friends with him since I was like 6 years old. And so just as I grew up, I started getting more mature. I started hanging out with Mark more and stuff like that. And then we played in a band when I was in sixth grade. He was in eighth grade. And we did that for like a year, year and a half, just having fun. And then we stopped in high school, and that's when I started getting into other bands and sports and stuff like that. I played basketball throughout high school. And then right after high school was when I was like, hey, Mark, like, you play guitar, I play guitar, why don't we start just kind of jamming together? So we did that for about a year. And in between that time, I wrote Everyone Pretends, which is the single that we released before the EP, and then he liked that one. He's like, hey, like, why don't we do this for real and make a band and, you know, actually try to get fans and all that kind of stuff. So we're like, okay, yeah. And then about a year and a half ago, that's what we did, and here I am.
And thank you for that, because your music is awesome. I absolutely love it. I have the EP, and I've listened to each song, and there's not one better than the other. They're all great. So you did a good job with that. Now, as far as other people in the band, you're welcome. Other people in the band, are they friends of yours too, or did you like kind of do a scouting thing?
It was more of a scouting thing. We did like the infamous Craigslist musician thing. You know, which actually worked out really well. We ended up getting a bassist to help us out. Another guitarist, a drummer, and we've kind of been going through different members throughout. Me and Mark are, like, the only ones that have just kind of stuck. Fortunately, right now we have a drummer that we've been working with for about a month and a half to 2 months, and we really, really like him. He really likes us, so we're kind of stoked about that. And
that's great.
We're writing new songs with him, and it's going really good, so.
Yeah, that's the hard part about putting a band together. You know, you think you're all set, and then all of a sudden one of them has to leave for whatever reason, and then you have
to go and
look for somebody else. And sometimes it could take a long time before you find somebody that actually fits in and is as dedicated as you are to the music.
Yeah, definitely. Like the EP we just made that you guys can listen to right now is a drummer from when we first started, and we've gone through about four different drummers now, so. It's like,
oh, wow.
You know. Yeah, the biggest gap we had was we had a guy who was our third drummer, and he seemed like he was going to be the guy to, like, you know, really be solid and stay with us. And then out of the blue, he comes up to us and he just says, you know, I just don't really see music as a career, and I know you guys do, so I'm going to tell you now so you can guys start looking for another guy. And so that was back in February. So from February to, July, we didn't have a drummer, so we were like really frantically, we auditioned like eight different drummers, and finally we got this guy. So his name's Ronnie. He's really cool. So,
well, you have to appreciate
the
other drummer's honesty for saying, you know, I think you guys need to look for somebody else instead of just leaving all of a sudden. So that was good.
Yeah, I do appreciate that, because we were able to get that out of the way now instead of later. Because he even said, he's like, yeah, I mean, even if something happens where you guys get picked up or whatever, he's like, I wouldn't even do that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You know, your drummer might get sick. I hope not. But, you know, he might get sick or have to do something, and he at least got a standby. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's the most tough. I think the toughest thing about being in a band is just, not only do you have to deal with, like, going to college, going to work, like, or whatever you're doing in your life, girlfriend, family, whatever, but also the members are always constantly leaving, and you always got to be ready to pop in a new one. So
definitely. definitely. Yeah. Now, what kind of music influences you now in the present day?
Well, right now, honestly, I think the Killers have been a big influence. Definitely Third Eye Blind. And even actually like a little bit of Everclear has been kind of getting in,
mm-hmm.
getting in there. But yeah, it's different than how it was about 2 years ago or a year. Blink was a big influence back then, and or Blink-182. But now, yeah, definitely I'd say the Killers. And then Churches is kind of being, I don't know, they're giving me like an electronic feel, you know, kind of making me think in that direction a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those. And Fanagram, stuff like that, like the newer stuff. Just kind of like
all great bands.
Makes you think about the music in a different way, you know, the way they do it.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, where did the name of the band come from, and what's its meaning for you guys?
Well, like, basically what I had going was a thing called the Ostrich Farm. It's basically a way to get other bands at our level kind of involved with, like, the local community. So, you know, they could play shows and play or release their EPs and do stuff like that while raising awareness for local charities and stuff. And I wanted to be, like, have a band that also did that also. And so I was like, well, what if I had a band called The Ostrich Run, which is connected to the Ostrich Farm? And it all got sparked one day. I was like, I had that idea, and I was like, well, how do I make it cool? How do I make it fun for, like, kids or something like that to, like, be a part of it? And I thought of, like, the ostrich egg. So,
uh-huh.
I don't know, to me, the ostrich egg just kind of, like, seems, it's like a super big, strong symbol, I guess. And I don't know, to me, it seemed kind of funny and cool to, like, call a donation an ostrich egg. So then I just
yeah.
kind of took that idea and went with it, and that's kind of where I'm at right now with it. It all started just from a symbol, I guess. And
well, it definitely makes you want to know more about the band when you hear a name like that, you know, because I think
yeah.
that's what catches a lot of people in the first place is the name of the band or a name of a song, and then you want to know more about them.
Yeah.
So that was good thinking
like
on your
elephant,
part.
You know, like, yeah.
Now, tell us
I
a little bit
Kate
more
elephant,
about the,
like,
the foundation, too. About the Ostrich Farm Foundation.
Yeah, it's like it's just as hard to get this going as it is to get a band going. It's like, you know, you got different pieces kind of working. Not only are the members helping it out and stuff like that, but you also have like friends who are interested, and then trying to get in contact with the charities and working out events, and you know, like there's just kind of like a whole another ball game to deal with, and
mm-hmm.
so. Yeah, like, the past year has been fun trying to, like, learn how to do all that. And, like, you know, we're still young and we're still, like, trying to figure it out about how to do it. And, like, we'll have failed attempts all the time and stuff like that. But, you know, in the end, it's a good cause and the bands have a good time. And yeah, I mean, I think about a year and a half from now, it'll definitely be a lot more steady as far as, like, the vision and where how we can go about it and stuff. So we're trying to
yeah.
get into the high schools and, you know, the colleges and stuff like that. And, like, right now I'm talking to a foundation called Cuck Fancer. It's, like, it's got started at UCI over here in Southern California. And it's just basically a fraternity. Guy from a fraternity had cancer, like, 3 times or something like that. It's crazy. And he survived it each time, and he realized how hard it was to go to school, pay for medical bills, pay for tuition, and deal with, like, you know, chemotherapy and all that. And he started this foundation so that way he could raise money to give students who suffered the same type of deal give them, like, grants and stuff like that to help them pay for their medical bills and their tuition fees. And I thought that was
wow.
really cool.
Yeah. That's outstanding. I mean, I'm sorry he had to go through that, but at least he's trying to give back just like you guys are, you know, and helping other people that are less unfortunate and don't have to go through that stuff that he went through by doing this. So, you know, I thank all of you for doing that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's one of those things where as soon as I heard that, I was like, wow, like I got to be a part of this. And And, like, I wanted to get, like I said, the other band's part of it. So kind of what we're doing right now is trying to round up about 5 or 6 bands to give us a single, and then we're going to put together a demo that we're going to pass out throughout UCI and Cal State Fullerton and, you know, maybe UC San Diego or USC, stuff like that around the colleges. And just get the awareness, and on the CD will be, you know, advertising the Cuck Panther and what they're about. And then maybe after about a month or two, get all those bands that gave us the single together and put against, together a showcase at one of the colleges. And, you know,
oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And what's cool, too, is we have the Hope Foundation working with Cuck Panther to get cotton swabs, which is, you know, basically you swab your mouth, and then you get entered into this database that has your bone marrow, matches your bone marrow to other people, which mm-hmm. is actually, like, a really rare thing to be matched with somebody when it comes
right.
to bone marrow. Like, it's not like a blood transfusion where it's just super, like, any, like, very, very common to be able to find your blood type. But to be able to find somebody who can donate you bone marrow is really hard. And so the more people
oh, yeah.
in the database, the more chances. So that's kind of part of it, too, is trying to get people in
yeah.
the database for the Hope Foundation and stuff. Because, you
yeah,
know, you
because
have to
even,
save a life by doing that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, even your family members sometimes don't match the person that
exactly.
needs the bone marrow. So
yeah.
To find a stranger, I'm sure, is like 1 in a million at least, you know. So
yeah,
that's,
it's really
that's
crazy.
That's another
but
great
the more
thing
people,
that you're doing.
The more chances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
boy,
like, you know, like
I have
believed and stuff like that, and I think if we can get other bands involved, then it'd be fun for the people donating, you know, like, not just, it's not just mm-hmm. a donation. You can come and have a good time at the show and meet the band and, you know, do stuff like that, and it should be a fun time.
I have a lot of admiration for you. With everything you just said, I mean, I just really, really admire you, and you're such a huge inspiration. And I hope that people out there listening, whether they're fans of music or are in other bands, you know, take away something from this conversation, because you're wonderful. I can't tell you how lucky I am, feel that I am right now talking with you and learning more about this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And whoever's listening, if you're in a band, give me a call, or not a call, go to our website, oshadrun.com, and contact us and see if you can be help us out with this.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. That. Oh, my gosh, that would be so great. Wow. Well, speaking of doing shows live, what was it like for you when you did your first gig?
It was definitely a very, like, a big relief, you know, because we were a band for a long time before we did a first show. And
mm-hmm.
just knowing what you want to do with it and knowing that you need the music, you need, like, all that stuff down. When you go out and you're actually doing what you've been working for, it's just such, like, a huge, like, I don't know, just sigh of relief. You're just like, we did it, guys, we did it. And then
yeah.
it just gets easier and easier each show, you know? Yeah, it's just one of those things, like, you just have a great time doing it. And, like, you know how hard you've worked, and when you get to experience, like, fans and interaction, like, and people actually liking what you're doing, like, it just, there's nothing like it, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine by now you don't have nerves anymore when you go on stage to do something.
Yeah, no.
Nice. Yeah, that's
well,
all gone. Well, that's
good. It's
always
good. Like right before you get nerves, yeah. But
yeah.
The first time I remember like feeling just like my voice was all shaky, you know, like when you're talking, you're like, hey guys, how's it going? Yeah. But a little bit of stage fright, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's normal. I think that pretty much 95% at least of bands and singers and that go on stage for their first few times, you know, get some stage fright. So I think you're in the big percentage there.
But then once you see the crowd smiling and dancing and stuff, you feel better. So.
Right. Yeah, you get into it. It's just like I mentioned before on other shows that I get nervous right before I do an interview. And why I get nervous, I have no idea. Because you know, it's you and me talking on the phone. I mean, why should I be nervous of that? It's almost like you're calling up a friend and having a conversation. You know, you're just asking more questions than you normally would.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, right before this, I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, okay, so what are they going to ask me or, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they're not hard questions.
Yeah.
And
I
just put it in the back
of
my mind that there's others listening, that's all.
Yeah.
So your first studio EP is called Acoustified, which has 4 songs on us. Can you tell us how this EP came together and how do you choose the songs that go on it? Because I know musicians have lots and lots of songs to choose from before they make it to an album or an EP.
Well, it's called Acoustified because originally it was intended to be an acoustic demo. And every song we've written has been just me and Mark on an acoustic guitar. And so we thought it'd be cool to kind of give it that flavor, like, you know, these songs originated acoustically. And then we started messing around with GarageBand and, like, you know, just a couple of DAWs. And we kind of liked the way it sounded with electric guitars, and we put on some, like, a drum machine. We, like, messed around with it, made a bunch of demos of different songs and stuff, and maybe there was about, I want to say, like, 15 songs that we had that we'll probably still use in the future, but we just thought that this would be a good first impression, I guess. And mm-hmm. once we heard the electric guitars and the drum machine, like, kind of, like, already bringing the songs to another level, we were like, yeah, we got to do a full-on band. And so we, you know, got on Craigslist and started calling up our buddies we knew who played music and told them what songs we wanted to do, sent them our demos that we already had, like, the acoustic versions and stuff, and then kind of brought it together. Had a couple band practices, then went straight to the studio, and then it was actually a long process getting the songs done because of how many musicians we had to, like, try to get to come out to Long Beach because we recorded in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have a schedule set where we're going to record for 2 days, you know, I don't know, like March 2nd, but then it wouldn't happen until March 27th because we couldn't get the musician to agree to do it or something, you know. So, yeah, that's what's kind of cool about this EP. It's like it really is a big collaboration of musicians. So, like, a lot of the stuff you hear, yeah, it's me and Mark, but, you know, the violins and the cellos and, you know, some of the piano, especially the drums, like, they're all different musicians and stuff that have kind of just believed in what we're doing. And that alone right there, like, was a really big, like, I don't know, I appreciate that a lot, the fact that another musician would be willing to drive out all the way to Long Beach and sacrifice their time to, like, record, you know, that was cool for me.
Definitely, definitely. And I think pretty much all musicians are willing to work with each other because you're all in it for the same reason, because you love music. You know, that's it. That's your life. So that's always wonderful to find other people and meet other people that will help you out along the way.
Yeah,
now,
definitely. And you become friends with these people, too, you know, through the song.
Yeah.
Just kind of collaborating and, you know, like the guy who played on the piano for, like, Time Helps. You know, I'm good friends with him now. And it all started just by me asking, hey, do you want to come record with me? You know, like, it was kind of cool. So hopefully he'll be on another track.
Well, I'm sure you make a lot of lifelong friends from this. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
In this type of...
Yeah, and last night I was just talking to the drummer that I've known for about a month, and we were just talking about life, you know, last night. And we get some friendship already building, so... That's what's cool, and then it'll reflect in the music once we start writing with this guy, you know. You'll see that we're a lot more connected, and it'll just kind of give us that little edge, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's always nice to be able to write, I think, with your other band members because everybody has their own style and their own way of doing things or different ideas, and you all connect it together and say, okay, well, this works from the drummer, this works from Mark, this works from you, and you put it all together, and then, hello, you got a wonderful song.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. Last night we had a practice. We were going through a new song I had, And then from the drummer's like, oh, why don't you put a reggae feel right here, and then we'll come in with, like, a rock version here, and it's like, boom, the song's, like, 10 times better than I ever thought it would
be. Yeah. So. Yeah, I love that. Now, what emotions ran through you when the EP was finally finished?
Just like the show, just relief, you know, because so
relief.
Much work goes into it. And yeah. Just like, you know, even if it's not what you thought it would be or the best you thought it could be, you just feel better that it's done and you're just ready
yeah.
to show some people what you did, you know. And
yeah.
like, I remember the first person I showed was my dad. I was like, hey, Dad, so it's finally done. And he's like, yes, thank God. And then he listens to it and he's like, I really like this. So it felt good.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's funny. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize how long that stuff takes, so.
Yeah, it really does. I can't imagine doing a full-length album, like, with that same process. It was just taking 10 times longer.
Yeah, yeah. But, that, you know, you learn things along the way that makes the process quicker. So what
right.
have you learned from when you started until now that you can, you know, work into your next one?
Probably definitely more pre-production, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know
mm-hmm.
if you've done film or anything
mm-hmm.
like that, but preparation when it comes to it, so that way when you're in the studio, it doesn't take, you know, 5 extra takes to do the vocal here, or it doesn't take, you know, 6 extra takes to do the guitar here. And like, not like practice, but just, you know, you start thinking of ideas while you're in the studio where you're like, oh, why don't we do this instead of that? And then if that
right.
was already figured out, then I wouldn't have had to be creative in the studio. I could have just already done it, and it would have been, okay, I know what I'm recording, boom, record it, and it's done. And I don't have to, like, keep re-listening and then going back and fixing things and being like, oh, we should change this note to that note, that kind of thing. Like, that was probably what made the process long. And
mm-hmm.
But as far as writing, I think I'm going to start simplifying how much instrumentation is in there and stuff like that. So that way you can really focus on the grit of the vocals and the emotion that the lyrics are trying to say. Because I think sometimes it gets overpowered. Like the vocals get drowned out by the music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that too, to not be so like overdriven with musical instrumentation and stuff, and kind of like simplify, maybe just instead of like a whole quartet, maybe you just have a violin or something and, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, because, you know, it would help you, too, when you guys are out doing gigs, because you're not going to have that full quartet with you playing.
Right.
So
yeah, and then
your song's
going to
sound different. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, because people expect to hear what they hear on the record, but then when they come live, it's like, oh, like, it's a little different. It's not bad, but it's different. So
no,
we
right,
we want
yeah.
it to be the exact same thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. But, you know, a lot of bands, again, do that as well. They record it one way and play it live another way, because I don't think there's many bands, unless you have all that money or signed with a label and they give you the money, where you can have full orchestras with you, you know.
Yeah, which
would
be awesome.
Play it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been getting into sequencing at practice lately and trying to, like, figure out maybe if we could – you know, it's not the same as having the instruments there, but at least you'll be able to hear it and, like, have, like, backtracks as far as the
mm-hmm.
strings go and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, which isn't as cool, but, hey, I mean, when you have a, when you're on a budget, it's kind of, you got to do what you got to do.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And, I mean, I've went to see a couple of, you know, singers that I like to listen to, and they're also indies, and they will have tracks playing a lot of times. Like, there's one time this guy's band couldn't come with him to a show. So instead
oh, really?
Of canceling it, you know, he played the music in the background and sang to it, and it was perfect. I mean, as long as you like who you're going to see, I don't think it much matters as long as you get to hear the music some way, somehow, and then, you know, of course, them singing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of pop stars and rappers and stuff, like, just backtracks and almost
yeah.
like they're doing karaoke to themselves, you know. And it's still
exactly.
just as good. No, it's not like
exactly. Not like me doing karaoke, because everybody would run, but You guys could do it.
Yeah, we've done a couple of, like, open karaoke type nights, and it's a lot of fun watching people like come up and do exactly the thing that makes you scared to do. Like, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I admire that person, even though they're not as good as I would hope they would be.
Yeah. And there's some people, I know I've been to some karaoke's where, you know, like I went on a weekly basis or something with my friends, and
yeah.
There's some songs that a person can sing, like they'll stick with one song, but they won't sing another one because then, oh my gosh, you know, run for cover. But it's funny that I think it has to do with the tone of the song or something, you know, like if it's
for
somebody that's
like
a soprano.
Yeah, it all comes into play. And some people blow you away. You're like, oh, my God, how come you're not, you know, the next, like, Katy Perry?
Right? Definitely. And it's not because I'm drinking 14 beers. You still sound good.
Oh, it might be that sometimes. But
yeah. That's so true. Well, I'm going to play for our listeners when I let you go your first two songs off your EP, which is Everyone Pretends and Time Helps. Now, before mm-hmm. I let you go, though, I'd like you to tell me a little bit more about the video for Everyone Pretends, because I was truly fascinated with the artist on that video. And, of course, the song was great, but it just all seemed to work together. Where'd that concept come from?
Well, like, when you're trying to think of a music video at our level, like being independent and not having any money, you try to, like, think, well, how can we make a video that's still interesting and doesn't cost a lot? And I was like, well, it makes sense to do something like where you don't have a set, it's just a room or a warehouse. And I was like, and I really kind of wanted to see another artist's perspective on the song, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of mm-hmm. just said, here, I gave him the song. I said, listen to it, you know, brainstorm of kind of the visuals that you get from hearing it. And I was like, what we'll do is we'll get this big canvas and you just start painting what you think the song is trying to say. And I said, go. And then he just kind of like, okay, cool. And his name is Jake Ryan Dickens. He's a really cool guy. I've known him for a couple years now. And he just blew me away with what he did. And I was like, whoa, we documented it, sped it up, and then put it to the song. And it just worked out really, really well. And I was kind of cool. If you notice, when you watch the video, there's like a little guy that he wrote in there, or like a little character, and
yeah.
it kind of uh-huh. goes through the song. And then at the very end, you know, he's sitting on that bench looking at the rest
right.
of the painting. But then mm-hmm. if you look, there's a little pathway that goes straight to that bench that, like, he could have avoided going through all this stuff if he would have just went straight through the bench. And I thought that was cool because the song is saying, you know, this time, never mind, better off pretending that it's just fine. Kind
yeah.
of like that was what I think he like captured that, because it's like, you know, he could have just went, like, if he didn't pretend that it was fine and actually dealt with what he was trying to do, he could have just trudged right over to the bench. But instead he like went through all this crap and, like, you know, the snow and the, like, going through the city and all that stuff, and had his journey was a lot longer than it should have been if he would have just dealt with what he needed to deal with. That's what I thought was cool. Like, he got that out of the
That is perfect. That is. It really, really fits the song. That guy is awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to go back and look at the path, because I really didn't notice that. You're busy paying attention to what he's drawing at the moment, you know,
yeah,
as the song is playing. So now I'm going to have to go back and look at that. But that is perfect. I absolutely love it. I mean, that's one of the best indie videos that I've seen in quite some time. I mean, that's truly artistic in every way.
Thank you. I was really surprised and blown away at what he did, because, you know, he actually never did a project that was that big before as far as how big the canvas was. I think
mm-hmm.
it was like 6 by 12 or something like that. It's really big. But what's cool is when we play shows, we're having that in the background, so you can see the painting all the time.
Oh, great. Oh, gosh, that's even better.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're going to make it so that way after the show, you can come and look at it and stuff like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that idea. I don't think there's a lot of bands out there that do that, so that'll be another good thing for you guys.
Yeah,
make
man,
you different,
I hope so.
Stand
I think
out,
it's just
you
another
know?
Thing to be interested. Like, yeah, just another thing mm-hmm. for somebody to, like, you know, be a part of and be interested in. And, you know, it's not just music. It's a video. It's a painting. It's, you know, other people, too. Like I said, not only the musicians, but, like, Jake, the guy who painted it, you know, that was from his own head. It wasn't, like, anything I told him or anything. So, you know,
yeah.
It was more camaraderie.
Yeah, definitely. And he did a great job. I mean, he really listened to the words to that song as he painted that, so you can tell.
Yeah.
He got what
cool.
you were trying to say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so, for our listeners, be sure to check out the video, too, on youtube.com/ostrichrunmusic. You're going to fall in love with it. It's amazing.
Yeah, go. It's really cool. Go watch it.
Yeah. Also, be sure to follow them on Twitter at @ostrich_run and like their Facebook page, Ostrich Run, and check out the website again at ostrichrun.com. Now, your music's available on iTunes. I'm sure it's probably available through any digital music form.
Yeah, mm-hmm, we did it pretty much everywhere. And then if you want to check it out on SoundCloud, you can do it there too. And we're also on Spotify.
Okay. Yeah, people have to be, and bands have to be everywhere these days. There's so many different ways to listen to music, and people have different apps on their phone, so it makes it a lot easier to find, you know, somebody that they love listening to. So you have to spread yourself out like that. And that's better because you get a wider audience that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cool, and you can kind of see, too, some of these places have, like, statistics and stuff that you could, like, find out people, like, you know, people from Mexico seem to like us a lot for some reason. And, you know,
really?
You can kind of see, like where your fan base is, and that's kind of cool. But hopefully we'll get some more Americans to like us.
Yeah,
Southern California.
Definitely. And I think social media helps a lot. You know, a lot of bands and singers and indies or whatever, you know, they don't realize a lot of times that when they are on social media, they need to connect with their fans, you know, not just tweet and run, you know, or put something on Facebook and run. It comes down to interaction with the fans. And if you interact with them, they're going to stick with you longer. They're going to have more interest in your music, and they're going to look forward to the new music that you put out.
Yeah, that's something we're trying to learn right now. It's really tough.
Well,
but
you'll get into
know we,
it.
I do know we should do it, yeah. No, it's one of those things where, like, it's the number one thing I know I should be doing. And, like, I'm really trying, but, you know, it all comes with time and learning and how to do it. But
yeah,
any fans
you know,
out there, I'm
even
willing
just a
to
hello
talk.
To somebody, you know, somebody that says, tweets to you and says, oh, I love that song of yours. You know, if you say hello, thank you for listening and, you know, stick around. We're going to be releasing an EP or we're going to be releasing another single, you know, watch and go to our website, you know, things like that. That's what the fan connection is. You know, you think about after you do a concert, you know, if you get to meet the band after that, then you bring on more fans that way too. And you're not standoffish, that, you know, will throw us off.
Right, yeah. And because the last thing I would want a fan to think is that I don't want to talk to them or something, you know.
Right, exactly. And it may not be the easiest thing for everybody to do, but it's just something you have to do when you're in this type of business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're learning right now.
Yeah. Just another way to promote yourself, that's it, you know. And have listeners and fans for a long time to come. So,
yeah,
do you have any upcoming gigs?
Unfortunately, I can't say I do. But it's only been because we've really been focusing on writing with this new drummer. But it is coming up. I would say within a month, probably about a month to a month and a half, we'll definitely be starting back up again and playing shows. Because what we're already working on a new demo just to pass out in Southern California out here, just locally, you know, straight anybody that wants one, and then definitely put up a free download of a new song probably in about October-ish. So not that.
Well, if you could pick anywhere in the world that you'd like to play, what venue would it be?
Anywhere in the world is tough, but I got to say Southern California's Hollywood Bowl would be my idea. I mean, if that ever happened, that would be my dream come true.
There you go. I'm sure you'll get there. I have no doubt. You guys are really, truly talented, and I think that you're going to make it in this business, and I think that you're going to go very far and be long-standing and not just a one-hit wonder.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I want to thank you so much, Joel, for joining me today. I wish you all the best in your future, and keep in touch. Send me new music when you get it, and I'd be happy to play it on Music Mondays.
Okay, thank you so much. That's definitely just so good to hear that you like the music.
Oh, I do. Believe me, I do. I've listened to it quite a few times. So, and now our listeners will get to hear a couple of songs because I didn't want to play all four of them at once. You guys need to buy the EP.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, take care of yourself and keep up the great work, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For our listeners, here is Everyone Pretends by Ostrich Run.
Better off.
Awesome song, Everyone Pretends by Ostrich Run. Ostrich Run, if I can talk. There we go. And the second song I'm going to play is Time Helps.
I got a war in my head, it's killing me. I'm bleeding out, no serenity. Got scars, I got wounds. I've been beaten to death without you.
Be sure to pick up the EP where both those songs are from, and you get two other songs on there as well. It's a four-song EP, and it's called Acoustified. Pick it up on iTunes or wherever you, you know, download your music from digitally these days. I want to thank everybody for joining me today. It was a lot of fun speaking with Joel, and I'm inspired and have a lot of admiration for him and the band that give back to the community as well as helping people out, and, you know, that guy with cancer and his foundation and what he wants to do. So if you're a band that would like to help out with that, be sure to contact them. Again, they're on Twitter at Ostrich_Run and Facebook Ostrich Run, and ostrichrun.com is their website. So we'll see you again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another hour or so of the best indie music from around the world. If you are an indie artist and you would like your music on the show, go ahead and send me some MP3s of your music at take2radio2@gmail.com. That's with the number 2. Be sure to include your Facebook, your Twitter, your website, and all of that so I can share it with our listeners and they know where to find you and your music. If you are an indie artist and you'd like an interview, you can use the same email address to make your request at that time. So we'll see you again, and have a great rest of the week and upcoming weekend, and we'll see you at Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.